You're listening to the Be the Church podcast of Anderson Christian Church. Be sure to visit us online at accbethechurch.com.
It's been exciting. Here we are, the last installment of this Now series. And it's been kind of a sprint as we've been launching things and getting things ready. And last week was absolutely tremendous. It is awesome to see how you guys are willing and making that declaration for God to use you with those commitment cards that have been turned in. God has done an awesome thing. And to see hearts put on display and just God use me. And now today, here in a little bit, he's not done yet though. Right here and today, we get to kind of put some action to that declaration where we come and we bring those physical gifts to him and declare it even all the more louder. And as we've been working throughout this series, we've been talking about the time being now. The time being now for us as a church to embrace the purpose that we have been given. That we've been given a mission. And I know a lot of times we like to act like, well, that's not really the case. But we do. We have a mission. As Anderson Christian Church, we have a specific mission to achieve what it is that we are supposed to be about. And that is connecting people to Jesus. And the time is now, not later, for us to start getting serious about that. And some of the things that we've been using and really driving for is to say the time is now for us to get tired, right? To get exhausted, to go in over our heads, to get to the point where we can't anymore and only God can work through us. Understanding, and one of the things that I've said is my personal desire in my life is that every day when I put my head on the pillow is that I want to know my tank is empty from that day. That I did everything I could in those hours I was awake to get people to Jesus and to know that there's nothing left. And especially when I come to the end of my life, to be able to stand before him and just be able to tell Jesus very clearly and confidently, I did everything I could. That's the desire, not just for me, but I want that for each and every one of us, for my family and for us as a church family as well. What are we here to do? It's not just to sit and sing songs and play games, but we are here to get people to Jesus. Now, a lot of times we continue to throw excuses at God. It's clear, it's obvious, it's in the scriptures, we know what it is, we've been talking about it for quite some time. Be the church, get people to Jesus, the Great Commission, make disciples, go and do this. We know all that, but we continue to use excuses, and we've been exploring those excuses over the past few weeks. One of the first ones, one that I use a lot of times, is, well, I'm just too small. I'm too small. I can't do this, I'm not experienced enough, I'm not strong enough, I'm not wise enough, I don't know what I'm doing, I'm too small. Sometimes we do that with our family. Well, our family, we can't really do that much, we can't make that big of a difference. Maybe as a church, we're a smaller church. You know, there's churches that are so much bigger than us and have more money than us. And so we look at it and we say, we're too small to really be serious about this mission of going and making a difference. We're too small to really change Lawrenceburg, Kentucky. But yet we looked at the story of Gideon, and God comes to him and says, Gideon, I have chosen you, man of valor, to lead my people to freedom out of this oppression. We remember that, right? And what did Gideon say at first? You don't mean me, right? I'm from the weakest tribe and I'm the smallest. I'm too small for this. But God showed us through Gideon how he used him in that army of 300 that it's not about us, but it's all about him. It's not about what we can do. It's about what he can do. So I'm too small. Maybe it's, well, the task is too big, right? I feel pretty good about myself, but in comparison to this mission that we've been given, I mean, what can I really do, honestly? It's just such a huge thing, going and making disciples of all the nations. How can I make a difference in that? And so the task is just too big. And in that moment, we look at David. David, who, this young Israelite, this youth, who stands boldly in front of Goliath, this giant, and brings victory, not because of who David was, but because of who God was. And what was the important piece in that? The task may be big, but all God needs from us is a willing heart. That's what he wants from us. He wants that willing heart. And we saw that as Samuel chose, and he was looking at David's brothers and thinking, these are the ones, and God continued to say, no, not them, there's another one. We see it later on in Acts when they say David was a man after God's own heart. Right? This desire, this willingness, just use me. I know it's about you, God. It's not about me. So the task is big, but nothing is too big for God. Another one that we looked at a couple weeks ago, I can't. Looking at this mission, I can't. And a lot of times that's what we do in life. Maybe it's not even just churchy things. Maybe it's not just the mission, but maybe it's just retirement. Maybe it's goals that we have set for ourselves or how we want to raise our kids. And we're continually looking at these objectives that we want to achieve and comparing them to what we can't do as opposed to what we can do. And we looked at this story of the widow who comes and she has just those two small copper coins. And I told you what I would have done if I was her. So I would have stood there clutching those two small copper coins, watching everyone else bring in these big bags of money. And I would have said, I can't do that. that, so I'm not going to do anything. And we do that all the time. Not just financially speaking, but with our own spiritual gifts and just in life in general. Because I can't do that, I'm not going to do anything at all. And in those moments, we're focused more on what we can't do than what we can do. Because what you can do, what I can do, is tremendous when we allow God to use it. Of course, we also understand that with God, all things are possible. So it's not about what we can't do, it's about what we can do with God. And then last week, this understanding that sometimes we're just flat out afraid of what lies ahead. Absolutely afraid. We're terrified. And so we allow that fear to paralyze us from moving forward. We looked at the 12 spies that were sent into the land of Canaan as Moses sends them in there. And they come back and 10 of them have that bad report. The land is great. It's really awesome. It would be fantastic for us. But we're really afraid of those guys. We can't beat them. So it would be better off if we went back to Egypt and just lived as slaves again. That fear paralyzed them. And it led them to being disobedient in the commands that God had given them. And we see the punishment that comes out as a result, that generation that doesn't get to see the promised land, simply because they looked at it and said, "We can't, I'm afraid." After that generation passes, God comes to Joshua and appoints him as that leader, and he gives him that command again, enter now into the land of Canaan, enter into the promised land, cross the river, and experience what has been promised to you. And what is it that he tells them? In Joshua chapter 1, there's this continual theme, this phrase that keeps coming up, be strong and, does anyone remember? Courageous, right? Be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. Be strong and very courageous. Now, why did God keep telling him to do that? Was it because be strong and courageous, Joshua, because you're really strong and you've got a good mind and I like you a lot and you're good with the sword? Is that why he was strong and courageous? No, be strong and courageous because I am with you. Be strong and very courageous because I am with you. I will be with you wherever you go and you will have this victory. And so we hear that, this overcoming our fear, because we have been promised that God is with us. Because it's the same thing for us. We've been told to go, enter this land, make disciples, teach them, baptize them. Right? We've been given this large task, and I know it's scary, it's intimidating, it's bigger than we are. And part of me just wants to run and hide when I look at this idea that we're supposed to be going out there and putting everything on the line to get people to Jesus. But I can't continue to do that. Because while he has given me that command, he's also given me the same promise he gave to Joshua. Remember that great commission, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Basically, he was saying the exact same thing that God said to Joshua all those years before. Be strong and courageous. Brandon, be strong and courageous. Anderson Christian Church, be strong and very courageous because I am with you to the very end of the age, every step of the way. And yet when God tells us, go, and we don't go, what happens? What are we really declaring to him in that moment? When we continue to sit and wait for someone else to do it or for the situation to resolve itself, what is it that we are declaring to him? God, I know you promised me that all this could be done and that you'd be with me the whole way and I didn't have anything to be afraid of and I could be strong and courageous. But when we sit there and we are disobedient, what we are telling God in that moment is, you aren't enough, God. You aren't enough. You see how big this thing is? You see how scary this concept is? God, you aren't enough. That's what we tell him when we are disobedient. When God says move and we don't move, we're saying, God, you're not enough. And the whole idea behind this whole series and this whole campaign is that when God says move, we move. When God says go, we go. When he tells us to get people to Jesus, we do that any way we possibly can. And we will do it in strength and we will do it in courage because he is with us every step of the way. We cannot continue to tell God he's not enough. That has to stop now. It stops now. And from this point forward, we're going to start telling God that he is more than enough. And how do we do that? We do that by being obedient and accepting his command in our life of going, of moving. Get up and we start doing what he's told us to do. That starts to tell him that he is more than enough. Accepting his command in obedience. God says move, we move. So what does that look like? What does it look like to be obedient to this call that we've been given? There's three characteristics or words I want to give you just really quick. The first one is sacrifice. I think when we are obedient to God and His command to move, you're going to see sacrifice in your life. And you're going to sacrifice a lot of things. It's sacrifice of resources, finances. It's sacrifice of time. It's sacrifice of jobs and retirement and goals and vacations. It's sacrifice of comforts and things that we desire, things that the world tells us are really important. It's sacrifice of relationships that are dragging us down, things that put a hindrance between us and the mission. It is sacrifice of a lot of things that are going to be really, really hard to do. Sacrifice. The second one is exhaustion. I think following Jesus looks like exhaustion because you are always going to be moving. You're always going to be going. You're always going to be extending yourself, and you are going to get exhausted because one of the biggest reasons is as we embrace this mission that we have been given, we are going to invest our lives and our hearts into the lives of others, and that hurts a lot of times. It hurts. Relationships hurt. People hurt you. And when you start to genuinely pour into their life, wanting to see their life enhanced in a relationship with Jesus, there are times where it is going to sting so bad and you are going to be drained physically and emotionally and spiritually at times. You are going to get exhausted when you embrace following Jesus. Sacrifice, exhaustion. And then the third one is trust. Trust. We talked a little bit about this morning in our Sunday school class. We looked at the story of Joshua and the Battle of Jericho and how they trusted God in this battle plan of marching around a city and as Andy said, tooting a horn and that this was all going to play out. That sounds crazy when you say it like that. Sometimes God gives us a plan because He sees things differently than we do. We look at it and we say, that doesn't make sense. So following Him, saying yes to Jesus, looks like a lot of trust. This goes back to that story of David a little bit. God sees, and He doesn't look at the outward appearance. He looks at the heart. He doesn't see the story unfolding as we see it unfolding. He sees it so much differently. You see, we try to tell one story, and it absolutely pales in comparison to the story that God is weaving together because of His perspective, because of His wisdom, because of who He is seated on His throne. And so we look at all these things, and we understand sacrifice, exhaustion, and trust. Leaving it in His hands and just looking at Him and saying, God, You told me to move and I will move. Now, as we continue to try to figure out what it looks like to be obedient to God's call, to go to Jesus and be, provide that willing heart, if we really want to get a good idea for what that looks like, I think we got to look at the disciples themselves. So if you want to open up to Luke chapter 5, we're going to be looking here in just a moment. In Luke chapter 5, Jesus is starting to really gain in popularity. I mean, these crowds are just flocking around, and they're pressing in, and they want to hear Him speak, they want to see what He can do. And so there's this particular time in Luke chapter 5 where they're all pressing around Him. He's standing on the shore of this lake, and He's looking for some space to be able to speak to them appropriately. And so He looks, and He sees these boats, and He hops in a boat, and this is where we see this encounter with Peter and some of these other eventual disciples. And so in Luke chapter 5, verses 2 through 3, it says, "And he, Jesus, saw two boats by the lake, but the fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. Getting into one of the boats, which was Simon's, or Peter's, he asked him to put out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people from the boat." And we're going to pause there for just a moment because there's something in there that I think we need to pull out to kind of talk about a little bit and to let become a part of our story with God as well. See, what we have happening here is that Peter's been out fishing all night. He tells us this a little bit later. He's been fishing all night and he's frustrated because it hasn't produced anything. You can probably imagine some of the emotions that he's feeling. You've probably had days at work where things didn't go well, or maybe you've been at a task and it just wasn't turning out the way that you intended it to turn out. And so you're sitting in those frustrations and maybe you're a little upset with yourself or just what's been going on. And that's where Peter is. And here he is. He's come in from the night and now he's cleaning up his nets. He's in my mind, he's getting ready to go home right after a stressful night of nothing really happening the way that he wants it to. And he comes back to his boat, and what does he find? There's Jesus sitting in his boat. There's this guy, this teacher that all these people are crowding around, and he wants him to put out a little bit so that he can continue to speak to the crowds. Now, what would you think if you were Peter in that moment? What would be your natural inclination? You know what my natural inclination is? Look, guy, I'm really tired. Maybe you can... one of these other guys? Maybe ask them. I've had a bad night. It is just not the time right now. I have got to go and have some me time. That kind of a thing. And there's moments like that. It hits me. And I'll be able to share that here in just a second. But it's just this idea that a lot of times Jesus comes to us and it's not convenient. And so that's the first thing I want us to understand this morning. When Jesus approaches us, it feels anything but convenient. Or put it this way, saying yes to Jesus is always inconvenient. It is. It's inconvenient for us to say yes to Jesus. It's inconvenient for us to follow him. It's inconvenient for us to be his disciples. It's inconvenient for us to be his disciples who go forth in the mission that he has given us. It's not a convenient thing. Because why? We are just like Peter. We're going through life. We're working hard. We're trying to make ends meet. We're trying to raise a family and grandkids. And we're trying to keep relationships going. We're trying to retire. We're trying to just get through life. And it keeps throwing curveballs at us and making it more and more difficult. And so the frustration continues to mount, and it just builds up upon us to where we just want to scream, and we're looking at this situation that seems impossible, and we know we're limited. There's only so much I can do, and I'm failing at this thing. So we're struggling to get through life, and we just are done. That's why I kind of feel like Peter probably felt like in that moment. But then what happens? Maybe you come to church and you hear a sermon. Maybe you sit and you do your personal devotion. Maybe you see a video online that challenges you. And as you do that, what starts to happen? You start to feel that tug on your heart because God is calling you to do something. God is starting to say to you, I want you to move. I want you to speak to this person. Share this with them. I want you to invite this person here. I want you to give this to this person. All these things that are going on, and it starts to feel really inconvenient. Why? Because you're just trying to get through life, and all of a sudden you turn around and you look and Jesus is sitting in your boat and he's calling you to do something else. And then in that moment that you have to make a choice, what are you going to do? How are you going to respond to him? Are you going to get in and row out like he wants you to? Or are you going to say, look, man, can you just go ask someone else? Now is not the right time. Maybe later. So I do that all the time. That's what I was going to say. There's certain days, right, where things just hit you hard. Maybe I've been up here at the church working on things, and I'm wrapping things up. Maybe I'm going to go pick up the girls and get them from school and all that craziness that's going to happen. Walking out the door, and what happens? Someone pulls up. Do you guys help people with rent? Yeah. Right? It's one of those things where you're just like Peter at the end of the day, right? I'm just going to get out of here. And here you are, this opportunity. And again, maybe it's you. You sit there and all of a sudden, God starts to speak to you. I want you to do this. I want you to start this ministry. I want you to reach out to this family. I want you to give this. I want you to try this. I want you to sacrifice this. And you have that first moment. It is incredibly inconvenient because you have so much already going on. You already have those dollars designated for something. You already have that night set aside for a specific reason. And now Jesus is looking you in the face and he's asking you to row that boat out a little bit. And you have that choice right there. What are you going to do? It's never convenient, especially at the beginning. Especially at the beginning. That first time where you're sitting there and you've been, you know, going through life, good or bad, no matter what's been happening, and all of a sudden you hear this story about a God that loves you, that created you, and that has pursued you passionately through the sacrifice of his one and only son and his death on the cross, and that is inconvenient. Because now what do you have to face? You have to face surrendering your life to this God or continuing on in your own path. That is not convenient. It's not convenient. So the first thing, saying yes to Jesus is inconvenient. Move on here in our account in Luke chapter 5, verses 4 through 7. And when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, put out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. And Simon answered, Master, we toiled all night and took nothing, but at your word I will let down the nets. And when they had done this, they enclosed a large number of fish, and their nets were breaking. They signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both the boats so that they began to sink. So here's the second thing. The first one, saying yes to Jesus is always inconvenient. Saying yes to Jesus defies earthly logic. It does not make sense to people to surrender your life to Jesus, to walk in the manner he has commanded us to walk. I mean, this request right here to Peter didn't make any sense. Peter was a fisherman by trade, right? He'd been doing this, his dad, his grandparents, all before that. This was what they did. He had partners in this, and he'd been out all night, and it was completely empty, right? It didn't turn up anything. And now Jesus, this guy who happens to be in his boat, he just listened to him speak, wants him to go out there into the deep waters and let down his nets in a time where that just makes absolutely no sense whatsoever. Why would I let down my nets right now? What would be the purpose of that? What would I catch right now? But because you have asked, I will. So Peter responded with obedience in the immediate, letting down his nets. And again, that's got to be hard. You know what I would have said? Why don't we do that later, when it's more appropriate? Why don't we do that later after I've had some rest? Why don't we do that later, you know, when we're supposed to? I've been doing this for a while. I don't think you understand what it is that you're asking. And so I would have tried to prolong. And I would have just said, look, that doesn't make sense. Let's try that maybe later. But Peter didn't. He showed immediate obedience. And he surrendered. God said, move, and he moved. Now, there's a couple of times in my life where I've seen that take place. One of them was a few years ago. I was the youth minister here, and then that transition started happening with stepping into the lead minister position, and I was spending time in prayer, trying to figure things out, and I was asking God, you know, what is it that he really wanted from me, and for my ministry, and for my family, and I'll just be point blank honest, right? I remember praying and saying, God, what is the purpose of doing this ministry here? There's so many churches around here. What is left to be caught? And I felt God, and I heard God just say, look, you just let down your nets. I'll do the rest. You just be obedient. Just do what I've called you to do. But yet it continues on, right? You learn lessons and then you repeat it. So it's the same now with our Now campaign, with this downtown initiative and things that we're talking about. I keep going to God and saying, God, tell me how, tell me who, tell me what, tell me when, tell me all the details. How is this going to play out? What are the steps that need to be taken? What's it going to look like? I want to know all these answers and all these details and what I know He is telling me time after time after time. Brandon, just let down your nets. Just do what I told you to do. I'll handle the rest. And so sometimes being the church, that's our mission, right? Be the church, be the church, be the church. Sometimes being the church doesn't make any sense to the world. And sometimes it doesn't even make sense to us. Because saying yes to Jesus defies logic. Why? Well, here's some of the things, some of our characteristics, right? We as a church, we as followers of Christ, we love people who are unlovable. We embrace people who have been rejected. We make others a priority over ourselves when the world is always talking about me first. We serve when there is no chance of receiving a thank you. We give when it makes no sense and when it hurts. We keep going when everyone else says just stop. And we refuse to surrender hope, but yet we gladly surrender everything else. Why? Why do we defy that earthly logic? Because Jesus loved a people who was unlovable. Because Jesus embraced the rejected. Because Jesus made others the priority. Because Jesus served when there was no chance of receiving a thank you. Because Jesus gave when it made no sense and even when it hurt. Because Jesus kept going when everyone else said stop. And because Jesus refused to surrender hope, even while he gladly surrendered everything else. Saying yes to Jesus defies logic. It's inconvenient and it doesn't make sense. Luke chapter 5, verses 7 through 11. So they have this great catch, and it says, they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both the boats so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish that they had taken. And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, do not be afraid. From now on you will be catching men. And when they had brought their boats to land, they left everything and followed him. Another note for us to remember, this one. So saying yes to Jesus is inconvenient. Saying yes to Jesus defies logic. And now saying yes to Jesus is rewarding. But probably not in the way that we imagine it or expect it. This miraculous catch, right? All of a sudden it's like, wow, we should be obedient. We should listen to this guy more often. What other tips do you have for us, right? You could be so caught up and enamored with that miracle that has taken place. But that wasn't the great reward for Peter and the disciples. What was their great reward for that obedience right there? It wasn't the fish that they caught, but it was how that allowed them to see Jesus for who he is. It revealed Jesus to them. That was their reward for their obedience. And so as we remember this, saying yes to Jesus is rewarding, but not in the way that we think. Maybe think of it this way. Don't become so fixated on the work of God that you don't see the one who's doing the work. Let me say that one more time. Don't become so fixated on the work of God that you miss the one who is doing all of the work. See, Peter right here in this moment, this great catch, the boats are sinking, the nets are breaking, and what does he do? He gets down on his knees and worships Jesus. Because he allowed that moment to reveal Jesus to him. He ignored the fish and bowed down before the one who did it. If you go to an art gallery, I don't know, maybe you guys aren't too big on art or anything like that, but maybe you walk into a place, maybe it's even at a museum, whatever, and you're walking around and you just love this particular piece of work, right? It's beautiful, it's caught you, it speaks to you, right? Maybe that's one of the terms that's used in this kind of places, right? It's just, you can't get enough of looking at the balance and the light and just the art, the approach that was taken, and you sit there and you are just fixated on this work of art, but you pay no attention to the fact that standing right next to it is the one who was the artist. Isn't that kind of silly? To never walk over to them at all and to say, wow, you did awesome. Wow, I can't believe, how did you, why would you? Wouldn't make sense, but yet that's what we do with God a lot of times. We look at all this work that He has done, and that's the only thing we look at. That's the only thing we focus on. And in doing that, we don't pay any attention to Him, the one who orchestrated it all and drew it all up and made it happen. Think maybe it'll help to think of a couple of ideas. Never become more enamored with the cross than you are the one who is on it. We do that sometimes. Because it's such a strong symbol, we look to the cross so much, and it's the cross, and we forget that we have the Son of God hanging on that cross, dying for our sins. So allow the cross to point you to the Savior who died on it for you, or to His empty tomb. Don't become so focused on heaven that you forget all about the one who's seated on heaven's throne. See, all these things, allow the work of God to point you to God. That is the reward in being obedient. Because as you are obedient, as you say yes to Him, as He says move and you move, you are going to have incredible things happen in your life. But never become so distracted in those incredible things that you forget about the one who is orchestrating those incredible things. Another one. So saying yes to Jesus is inconvenient. Saying yes to Jesus defies logic. Saying yes to Jesus is rewarding. And this last one, saying yes to Jesus isn't about what we will experience in Him, but rather what others will experience through us. In that passage right there, what does Jesus do? This great catch, Peter bows down, worships Him, you know, says that, you know, he's a sinful man, he needs to depart from Him. And then we see that Jesus basically says, don't be afraid, from now on you will be catching men. From now on you have a new purpose. From now on you are going to embrace the mission that I have given you, and you are going to see incredible things take place. And we see how they respond. They leave everything and follow Him right there in the immediate obedience, now. In Matthew chapter 4, verses 19 through 20, we see where it says, and He said to them, Jesus, follow Me, and I will make you fishers of men. Immediately they left their nets and followed Him. So what's Jesus doing in this invitation? From now on, from this moment, your objective in life is altered. Your purpose is different. I'm giving you a new one. I'm creating you into something else. And your life is going to be different. You will be changed from the inside out. But I am going to make you into an agent of blessing for all of humanity. So it was about this invitation to use them, to be used by God, to bring glory to Him by saving others. So Jesus is basically saying, follow Me, and yes, your life is going to be different. It's going to change, but the real thing I'm inviting you into is not life change for yourself, but it's in changing the lives of others, those that are around you. And that hasn't changed, right? That was the invitation for Peter and the disciples. That's the invitation for you and I as well. We come to terms with who God is. We see His miraculous works. And then Jesus says, follow Me. I will make you fishers of men from this point forward. When we give Him that authority in our life, when we claim Him as Savior, as our Lord, He changes us. Not just for our own benefit, but for the benefit of the world around us. We as Anderson Christian Church are here for the benefit of those around us. We are here to be fishing for the people that are all surrounding us. Our family, our friends, our co-workers, our neighbors, all of these individuals. That is what our new purpose is, because Jesus has invited us into that. It hasn't changed. You've been going to life, you've been going to church, but suddenly maybe you show up and right here today, not because of anything that I've done, but because we've looked at these passages, because we've allowed the Word of God to speak to us. We've been just going through life, but right now let me tell you what's happening. Whether you realize it or not, Jesus is sitting in your boat. You weren't expecting it this morning, and it's nothing that I have done. But Jesus is sitting in your boat, each and every one of you, because we have just explored this text and He speaks to you just as He was speaking to Peter, and He is calling you to follow Him. He is calling you to lay down your nets and to walk away from it all and to sacrifice it all and be obedient to Him right now. Now, how are you going to respond? How am I going to respond? Am I going to be faithful to Him? Am I going to be obedient? Will I leave it all now? Or will I look at Him and say, you know what? I'm just really tired. I've got all these other things I've got to do. Maybe we can do that later. How are we going to respond to him and to his call? That's where he is. He's sitting in your boat. He's sitting right next to you. As you leave this place, he's sitting in your car. Tomorrow morning you go to work, he's sitting right there with you at work, and he is calling you. He is beckoning you. How are you going to respond? Again, he's inconvenient. He's inconvenient. What he's called us to, it defies logic. But the reward is greater than anything we could ever anticipate, because the reward is he himself. How are we going to respond as a church? How are you going to respond as an individual, as a family? Will you continue to hide behind your excuses and push things off? Or are you going to row out into the deep and let your nets down? Are you going to take that step of faith, unsure necessarily of what this journey is that lies ahead? God is telling you, Anderson Christian Church, you, your name, your family, he's calling you, he is telling you to move. Are you going to move? At this moment right now, what are you going to do? Will you allow him to use this moment to make you into something else, to make you into a blessing for Anderson County, for Lawrenceburg, Kentucky, for your family, right? For the kids that you're raising, for the grandkids that are in your life, for the people that you work with. Are you going to allow God to make you into a blessing for all of them? Are you going to allow God to change you from the inside out? Are you going to allow God to give you a brand new purpose in life, that you're not just going through life to accumulate as much stuff as you can and be as honorable as you can and then die, but you're going through life to serve an eternal purpose? Are you going to allow him to give you that new purpose? How are you going to respond to God calling to you and saying, move? Will you move this morning? This morning I'm going to have a prayer here in just a moment, and there's a couple of opportunities to respond. As God says move, you can respond. Maybe the moving that you need to do is personal in your life. Maybe it's you know what it is. Maybe it's a ministry. Maybe it's this particular area of service. Maybe it's a family or a person at work that you know God is continually telling you, reach out to this person, show this person love, invite this family over, whatever it is. Maybe it's an area in the community. Maybe it's something here at the church. What is it? But that's more personal, right? Maybe God has told you. You know what it is, but you keep saying later, I'm tired, not right now. How are you going to respond? Maybe it's more public. Maybe for the first time, you need to walk away from those boats and those nets, and you need to surrender your life to Jesus. You need to surrender to his grace and to his forgiveness. You need to give him your heart for the very first time. And so your movement looks like coming forward and proclaiming him as Lord and Savior and being baptized into him. Maybe you need prayer. God's saying, look, you got to walk away from that sin. You got to get away from it. He's saying, look, that change has got to take place in your life, and I can help you do it. These people can help you do it. Just get prayer. Find accountability. Maybe that's what your movement is. Maybe your movement is connected to the offering that we have. Again, we made that verbal declaration in a sense with the commitment cards, and now we have the opportunity to put action to those words, to make that declaration to God. I am willing, God. I want you to use me, God. I want you to use my family, to use my church. I want to be about something that has eternal consequences. I want you to give me a new purpose. I want you to make me into a fisher of men. And so, God, I am willing. I am bringing it all right now. And I'm giving you access to every part of my life. Use me, Lord. Build your kingdom, Lord. You've told me to move. I'm moving. So whichever way you need to respond this morning, of course, there's also the option to continue to sit still. The choice is yours. Let's pray.
Thank you for listening to the ACC Be the Church podcast. Be sure to like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, and check us out on our website at accbethechurch.com.